Today is Charles Bonnet Syndrome Awareness Day, and earlier this year I caught up with Judith Potts, founder of Esme's Umbrella, a charity supporting people in the UK living with the condition. I started off by asking her what kind of supports they can offer.
Well, the first thing I did was to create Esme Rooms support groups, which were hosted by local low vision charities. People were invited in either to the charity or to somewhere that they took for the occasion. And people arrived, had a cup of coffee or a glass of wine, whatever it was, and exchanged experiences of Charles Bonnet syndrome. And these grew very, very slowly because, of course, people were still reluctant to actually admit that they had this condition. But when COVID-19 hit, those all had to be shut because they were face to face. And it became clear within a week of lockdown that Charles Bonnet syndrome was really affecting people in a very bad way, much more than normal. There was one particular group at Liverpool run by Mike Bailey, and my email inbox was getting full of people saying help, as was my Facebook page. And Mike Bailey called me and said, we have to do something because the people that were in my Esme's Room group are now in desperate need because it's all got much worse. And at the same time, Louise Gow at the RNIB, who heads the iHealth team, she also rang me and said, I'm getting so many more calls. So we decided that we would morph the rooms into the Esme's Friends groups. And now we have, I think it's 28 or 29 around the country. The RNIB runs 3. The need is so great for people to talk to each other, to exchange their experiences, to exchange coping strategies, and just to know that they're not alone.
So over the last year, there's been a big raise in awareness around Charles Bonnet syndrome, with Coronation Street and other publications covering it. Coronation Street in particular had a storyline involving Charles Bonnet syndrome this year. How do you think that's affected the way that the public perception of Charles Bonnet syndrome, and also how people with the syndrome might deal with it in the future?
Yes, I do. When the scriptwriters of Coronation Street came to me last year, and under, you know, pain of death, I was not allowed to speak about it. And I had the great pleasure of helping them with the scripts and talking to the actor, Richard Hawley, who plays Johnny Connor. I knew that this would make a massive impact. I would have had to work 24 hours a day for the rest of my life to raise the awareness that those episodes, 8 episodes of Coronation Street, has done for Charles Bonnet syndrome. And almost every meeting that I address now, people will say, oh, I saw it on Coronation Street. And these soap operas are amazing because they do take social problems and give them reality. And that is what has happened. And I have to say that one of the very first things that I did, with the help of Professor Andrew Dick here and Dr. August Kohlenbrander in America, was to persuade the World Health Organization that Charles Bonnet syndrome should be given a coding of its own, which means it is a condition in its own right now, not just a side effect. And so ICD-11, which is the taxonomy of diseases and conditions, will be published this year, I think. And Charles Bonnet syndrome is there. So now the NHS, once we're through the pandemic, will need to look at this and create a proper pathway for diagnosis, treatment and support, particularly following all the research that is happening now for which I have sourced the funding. And there is just a great deal going on.
It's amazing what you've managed to do in such a short space of time, really, when you think about it, you know, 6 years. It's incredible what you've managed to do. What are your plans as we come out of lockdown?
Well, I think my plan is to keep going. We need to help the RNIB have counsellors. I understand there is a waiting list for them. So what I would like to do is to find counsellors who will help Esme's umbrella. And I'm really looking for counsellors who are visually impaired themselves, because that will be kind of halfway there. And we know that counselling does help a great deal. The Macular Society have counsellors too. They're in groups. They do one-to-one as well. But I think having VI counsellors would be a really good way forward. So I'd like to do that. And I just need to raise as much money as I can to get as much research done as I can. And I would like also to reach out to America, to the big universities there with very deep financial pockets, and ask them to take this as seriously as we do here. We have started the research, the only research in the world, but we need help because we are a very tiny country. We don't have that much money. I certainly don't have any money, but those big universities do. And I think I have a colleague in America now who is a psychologist, and he works exclusively with the visually impaired. And he now hosts an Esme's Friends online chat group, chat and support group. And I know how many people there are in the USA who are in desperate straits and email me. I then put them in touch with him. But we need much more happening all over the world, because this is a condition which, unless we cure sight loss, will be around for a very long time.
Thank you so much for joining me, Judith, and taking the time to speak to us today. Where can we find out more about Esme's Umbrella and get involved in the support groups?
Well, there is my website, which has just been redesigned and refreshed and is now VI friendly. It is www.charlesbonnetsyndrome, which is Charles Bonnet, B-O-N-N-E-T, syndrome.uk. There's no co, it's just .uk. And my email address, please email me, is esmesumbrella, all lowercase, no apostrophes. I answer all the emails myself.
Judith Potts, founder of Esme's Umbrella, thank you so much for joining me. You're listening to RNIB Connect Radio.